Father God, I thank you so much that you are so big that you affect everything that we are and everything that we do. Father God, I ask that you would be in this place, that you would be glorified this morning, and that you would speak to us in a special way that we need to hear you. In your holy and precious name, amen. So we've been working on this series for the past couple weeks that we'll be in this whole year, and we've been looking at who God is and how that affects our daily lives. So the analogy we've been using is that gravity affects our daily lives, that the truth about gravity keeps us walking instead of flying. It keeps us being really careful when we're walking on 10-story buildings because we may fall off the building and die, right? So there's things that we do in our everyday life because we live in a world filled with gravity. Well, we live in a world filled with God, and who he is matters to our everyday life. And so we're going to look at who God is and how that affects us. We've been talking for the past 2 weeks about God being the
Redeemer.
Redeemer. Thank you, five people. You're awesome. Okay, God being the Redeemer. Can anybody remember how we talked about God being the Redeemer in the past 2 weeks? Can you give me one of those ways? Yeah, Rachel. We're totally made in his image, which means we are valuable, and he has chosen to trade for us because we are valuable. We've been made in his image. John, what's the other one? Yeah, he's a redeemer who makes broken things whole, just like our families, which are messed up or whatever. He can make them completely whole. Well, today we're going to be looking at those two things, and it starts with one and then leads into the other. The thing we're going to be looking at is that God has given us, because he values us so much, because he loves us so much, he's given us a very, very special gift. And it is this. This is my favorite song. All right, so God's given us this very, very special gift of this special relationship with a person of the opposite sex, right? He's given us a special relationship, and we've glorified this in movies. We've got Twilight, and we've got books like Pride and Prejudice, all sorts of things. We've got music, everything that just talks about how wonderful this relationship is, all right? And God has given it to us as a gift because he loves us so much. Okay, now a lot of people don't really think that that's a gift. A lot of people think that that's just something that we're entitled to, that I deserve to be in a great relationship because I'm a human being, and that's what humans do. I should get a relationship. I should get a special sort of connection with somebody. But it's not really true. It's actually a gift that God has given us. So let's go ahead and look at where God first gives that gift in Genesis chapter 2. So open up your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2. In verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Yum. All right, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man, his name is
Adam.
It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each of the living creatures was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds in the sky, the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed it up in the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That's a joke. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the first account we have of God bestowing or giving this gift on humans, that it is a gift to be in this special relationship with somebody. Now, this is kind of how I liken this. When Lyra was a year old, my daughter, she's now 2.5, when she was a year old, she got a special, special gift from her grandmother. The special gift was this photo album. My mother-in-law, Zach's mom, is a really amazing scrapbooker. And so she decided that she was going to create this photo album for Lyra that had all of these pictures of Zach and his family when they were growing up and all that stuff. And so here's a picture of Zach's grandfather, who's now 97, who when his grandfather was 2. So this is a really old picture. And then we keep going. Here's Zach's sister. That's Lyra when she was little. This is Zach when he was a little baby. And all of these different pictures. There he is in the tub. Isn't that cute? With his brother. Apparently, his brother had just farted, and Zach was laughing really hard. Okay, so all these baby pictures in here. Now, if you keep looking through the book, you will find that there are pages and there are pictures that have been ripped out. And this is because we let Lyra have this gift when she was given it. And what she did is she didn't know how to treat this gift. She didn't know what to do with it. So she would open it up and she would rip pages out. And she kind of destroyed the book a little bit. And we had to tell her over and over again, that's not how you treat this book. This is a very special gift. And there's a special way that you're supposed to use this gift. But she didn't get it because she was too little. She didn't understand that there was a right way and a wrong way to use this gift. So we actually had to take this gift away and say, you know what? You can't have this until you're older. We want to protect this for you so that when you're ready for it, you can accept this gift and you can use it the way that you're supposed to use it. Now, God has sort of done the same thing with this gift he's given us. He wants us to be in a relationship with somebody else of the opposite sex. He wants us to be a part of that. But sometimes what we do is we don't really understand how to be in that relationship. We wind up hurting other people. We wind up getting hurt ourselves. And we wind up like making a mess of a lot of things. And God is trying to tell us, and he says very specifically in the Bible, this is how you're supposed to have this relationship so that you don't get hurt and somebody else doesn't get hurt either. There's a way to have this relationship and use this gift correctly. I love you so much. I want you to have it, but you got to know how to use it. And so we're going to look a little bit and see how is it that God wants us to participate in this relationship. What does that really look like? The first verse we actually already read where he talks about a man and a woman coming together, that they come together when they are ready to leave their parents' household. When they are ready to be on their own, that's when they go for this kind of relationship. All right, the next one I want you to look up is actually 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, so you kind of have to go pretty, the Genesis was here. You want to go like all the way over there to 1 Corinthians. You'll pass Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, and then you'll hit 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, chapter 13, verse 4. This is a passage that's very famous for talking about love. This is what love is. This is what it looks like. This is how we are supposed to love one another. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, in our relationships, whether you are ready to get married, which most of you are not, or you're just in a dating relationship with somebody, this is the type of love that's supposed to be governing or guiding us in those relationships, right? Are you being patient or do you get really mad at each other quickly? Is it self-seeking? Are you doing it to get something out of it, like status or popularity or coolness or something that feels good? Or are you doing it because you really do honor the other person? Are you protecting each other? Are you trusting each other? Are you hoping? Are you persevering? This is the type of love that we're supposed to have in those relationships. Now, turn a little bit further to the book of Ephesians. It's like if you go three books. It's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. So go to Galatians Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. We read this passage last week, but I want to visit it again because it is so important. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When you're in a relationship with somebody, do you submit to each other? Like, do you say, oh no, what's better for you, I'll go ahead and do that? Or do you just say, no, this is my way or the highway, all right? Keep reading. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Can somebody remember what we talked about last week? What does that mean for wives to submit to their husbands and husbands to love your wife? What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. And in our culture, unfortunately, a lot of people harp on that idea of wives are supposed to, especially in Christianity, really, that wives are supposed to be submissive. You need to submit. You need to do what I say, because biblically it says you need to listen to me. But we forget that it tells the husband you need to die for your wife. And that's not just literally that you need to take a bullet for her. But even more than that, all of your desires, anything that you want, you need to be willing to let go of in order to meet the needs of your wife, in order to love her, right? This is this extreme form of love. And again, this doesn't wait for when you get married. I think it's good to start thinking, could I, if you're a girl, could I submit to this guy, or is he a jerk? If he's a jerk, why are you with him? And then the same thing, guys, like, am I loving this lady so much that I could die for her? Or is she not really worth dying for? Because if she's not worth dying for, shouldn't be with her, right? So we have these practices here, and it says this is how our relationship is supposed to happen. This is what this is supposed to look like. Now, back up a little bit more to Ephesians 5, verse 3. So it's the same chapter, just a couple verses back. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for the Lord's people. Nor should there be any obscene, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person or is an idolater or in any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ or of God. Here we have this very clear picture that there's not supposed to be any sexual immorality among us, which means we're not really supposed to be, we're not supposed to be having sex outside of marriage. I mean, a relationship is bigger than just that, but I do want you guys to hear that, that it says very clearly in the Bible that we're not supposed to participate in sexual acts outside of this covenant of marriage. Now we're going to talk a little bit about, I want to show you guys this. This is my science fair project. I did it on a science fair board. I want to talk a little bit about what this looks like. How do you have a healthy relationship with somebody? How do you make sure that you really are in a good relationship? How do you play these principles out in your daily life? And this is what I came up with. Well, I didn't really come up with it. I stole it from somewhere else. But in every relationship, there's like five levers. There's five different aspects of that relationship. There's how well you know the other person. There's your knowledge of the person. I remember in college, whenever there was somebody on the screen when we're watching a movie together with my roommates who was like, they just met each other and they're like making out or whatever, my response was always, she doesn't even know his favorite ice cream flavor. Like, seriously. And so that became like our code for, do you know his ice cream flavor? Like, do you know him well enough to be even in a relationship with him? How well do you know this person? Do you know what their future plans are? What are their dreams? What are their hopes? What does that look like? Do you trust them? Can you tell them a secret and make sure that they're not going to go tell tons of people? Or if you're in trouble, will they follow through to get you help? Reliance. How much do you rely on them? Do you need them to tutor you in math? And do they help you with those sorts of things? Do they show up and give you rides that you need when you're depending on them, right? Are they dependable? Can you rely on them? Here's the other one, commitment. Are you committed to them? If stuff gets rocky and you have like a really, really hard day, are they going to break up with you because of that? Or are the two of you really, really committed to each other? And the last one is touch, right? And we know what this looks like. This is all different things from holding hands to kissing to hugging to making out to all of the other things that go beyond that. All of them, right? All represented on this lever right here. All right, so the way that this works is that you can't raise this lever in a healthy relationship if this one is not raised higher than it. So if I know the person really well, I know what their favorite ice cream flavor is. I know what their hopes and dreams are. I even have met their family, and I know that they get along really well with their family. I think they're a really good person. And I know what their spiritual walk looks like, too. We've had conversations about all those things. Once I do that, then I can start to trust this person. All right, I can tell them things. I can share stuff with them. Then I can start relying on them to, do my homework for me or whatever it is that you do when you're in a relationship. Right? Then we can be committed. And only then do I start raising this touch lever. I can start saying, yeah, like I know him, I trust him, I rely on him, I'm committed, so we can start doing that. Now what happens is, sometimes these levers get out of whack, and I start raising this one before these are high enough for me to raise that. You can never raise the one to the right higher than the one to the left. Does that make sense? If you want to be in a healthy relationship, this is kind of what you got to look at. Sometimes what we do is we try to think, you know, I know him a lot, but I really want him to be more committed or her to be more committed. So if I just raise this touch lever up to here, I'm hoping that this is going to come up, but it's not. It's not. In fact, this one's probably going to go down, and so is this one, and so is this one. All right? So we're looking at all these different things. This is what a healthy relationship can look like. Now, we mess this up in all sorts of ways. We go ahead and we know a little bit about a person, and then we're like, hey, we are dating on Facebook. We're Facebook official. That is a commit. That's a little commitment. We are committed, though. But there's no trust and there's no reliance. We've messed that up, right? Or we just say, yeah, I know that person. Or this is the worst. When you don't know them, but you trust them a ton. And you even rely on them. You're dependent on them. You don't go anywhere without them. And you're committed to them, but you still don't even know who they are. This is where we fall into situations where a person's a complete jerk and you're with them through and through. I know that when I was in high school, I was in a relationship like this, and this was no good. So we mess up these relationships in all sorts of different ways. And what honestly I see the most often is among our students is something like this. We know some of these things. Gosh, my levers are all messed up. Right? And this is set up for heartbreak and hurting and pain and baggage and all sorts of stuff that God did not intend for us to have. This is like taking that gift that God gave us and ripping out those pages. That's not what we're supposed to do. In 1 Corinthians, go back a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 goes back to this idea of God being our complete and ultimate redeemer. Chapter 6, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins people commit are outside their bodies, but those who sin sexually against their own body, sin against their own bodies. Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Each and every one of us in this room has been paid for by a tremendous price. And that was Jesus Christ dying on a cross and saying, God saying, you know what, I'm going to trade for you. I think you are valuable and you are lovely and I want you. And God has paid this huge price for us. And then he's given us this amazing gift. It is our job to honor God with that gift. Now, each one of us in this room are at a completely different place. Some of you, I know, have said, you know what, I'm not even going to deal with any of this. I'm not even going to participate in any of this relationship stuff until later on. You're saving all of that. Not just saving yourself for marriage in a sexual way, but saving yourself even in the dating way. Like, I'm not even going to get involved with a guy until later. And some of you have made that decision. And that's super cool for you. That's really good. And I'm glad we're talking about this today because you have the opportunity to see what this could look like in a healthy and godly way. Now, others of you, that's not your story. In fact, you've already messed up these levers in all sorts of different ways with lots of different people. And this is what I want to tell you. God is the Redeemer who makes broken things whole. God is the Redeemer who puts all of those pieces back together so that you can try again, so that you can be completely redeemed and you can approach these relationships in a completely new way, that you can once again receive that gift the way God intended you to receive that gift. And that's super exciting for you. What I want you guys to do is I want to give you the opportunity to write a prayer in your notes section that we handed out to you. And for each of you, that's going to be a different prayer. For some of you, that's going to be the prayer that God would give you wisdom about how to go about these relationships, about how to do this in a godly way, and that you would really just talk to God about that. For others of you, that's going to be, God, can you redeem me by making me whole? I've messed this up, and I want to do it right. For others of you, it's going to be a prayer, God, I could care less. I don't think any of this is true anyways. And I want you to wrestle with that too. Whatever camp it is that you find yourself in, I want you to just talk to God about it and let him speak to you also. I'm going to ask John to come on up, and you guys can go ahead and keep writing as long as you need to. Write that prayer, talk to God as long as you need to do that while John's playing this first song.